All right, will you take your Bibles and turn with me? Okay, let's get back here to Exodus chapter 20. So an important part of what we do here on Sunday mornings is to open the Word and hear what God is saying to us. We said earlier that God bids us to listen to Him, and not only to listen to Him, but to follow Him, and in our following to express our profound sense of love for Him. I mean, we sang that, and then we acknowledged that together. So let's listen to the Word of God. If you're new this morning, first time here, it'd be helpful for you to know that we're in a series of studying and exploring the commandments that God gave us in Exodus chapter 20, and we are up to the fourth commandment, and that's what we're going to be reading together here, beginning at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. I love things that last. I love to take care of things so that they will last. So I am the proud owner of a lawnmower that I purchased, still have the receipt, in 1988, April of 1988. And I have used it now for almost 30 years, you see, to vacuum in the fall. No, seriously, to vacuum my leaves in the fall, right? Because you vacuum them up, you catch them in your bag, you dump them on the street. That's how this works. And to cut my lawn. So for 30 years, I have been doing this. And because I don't know the first thing about small engine repair, I'm really careful in terms of maintenance, right? So this lawnmower has never been in a shop. And I've never bought a part for it other than a spark plug or two or three or four over the years. So you do the maintenance, right? You follow the maintenance schedule and you change the oil every season. And, you know, you clean out the filter. And every 5 years or so, you gap the spark plug or replace. This is the kind of stuff that I can do. And so that's why I can say that I am the proud owner of this Toro lawnmower bought in April of 1988. And I think this is a really big deal, and thought so until I had a conversation with Sarah Duggins, our administrative assistant in the office, and she didn't exactly roll her eyes, but she looked at me like, okay, you want to talk about a big deal? All right, the truck in the parking lot, 1997, 330,000 miles on it. You know that Honda Civic that I sometimes drive? 1999, 175,000 miles on it. You know what we had before that? We had a Honda Accord, 550,000 miles on it. You know what they're driving? You know what's in the parking lot today, this morning? An Acura. 250,000 miles on it. Do I have that right? Yeah, of course, you know, when you're married to a guy who works on car engines for a living, you can do that sort of a thing, right? All of a sudden, my little lawnmower and what made me feel so superior for just a short period of time, I'm realizing it really doesn't amount to that much. But if you talk to Trey, he'll tell you that it's all about proper maintenance, right? You talk to me, who doesn't know anything about small engine repair. I mean, I take care of this thing really, I mean, to the T in my maintenance agreement, because if you don't maintain it, it's not going to last. That's why in your glove compartment in your car, which I'm sure can match the 250,000 miles that the Duggins have, right? When's the last time you changed the oil? You do that regularly. In the glove compartment in your car is your owner's manual. In the back of your owner's manual is this maintenance schedule that'll tell you how to ensure optimal performance and longevity. But, you know, it's not only our vehicles, and it's not only our lawnmowers, and it's not only our machines that require proper maintenance. It's also us. That's why God, in His wisdom, gave us this commandment to ensure optimal performance. He said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. On it you shall not do any work. Now, friends, how serious was this? How serious was God about this when He built into the instruction manual for our daily living that we ought to be setting aside a day to rest? Well, He was so serious about this that He said to the Israelites who first heard these words, He says, I want to be so crystal clear about this that you shall rest from your work on the seventh day. And not only should you, but your son should. And not only your son, but your daughter. And not only your son and daughter, but your employees should. And your pets, your animals, your livestock, they too. And if you have guests sitting in your house or staying with you on the Sabbath day, they should not work. Because the Sabbath day is a day to be a day off. And not just a day off, we're to keep the Sabbath day how? What's that? Yeah, it's a holy day. And what does the word holy in this case mean? In the context here, it means a day that is set apart, a day that is quite different from all of the other days. Now, why is this so important to God? It is so important to God because, do I have it here? The Sabbath was given for our benefit. God, in His wisdom, knew what was best for us. God told us 3,000 years ago what physicians and psychologists are concluding today, that we need a break on a regular basis. Our emotions need a break on a regular basis. Our bodies need a break from work on a regular basis. You know, we need a break in every way, physically and emotionally, but also spiritually as well. We need a break from the demands of regular life and from the stresses and deadlines and activities of regular life. But we also, I mean, our spirit needs a break. And it needs regular times of refreshment and replenishment and renewal. God knew that in order for us to be able to maintain a sense of well-being and to remain well connected with Him, there has to be built into the regular rhythm of our lives this break, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And what I want us to appreciate about this commandment, like the other commandment, is this commandment too is an expression of God's love for us, an expression of His concern for us. I never saw it that way when I was young. Maybe some of you also grew up and was raised in a rather restrictive church environment. And one of those ways in which I felt that church and the Christian faith was a little stifling was in Sabbath observance. There were these written and unwritten, spoken and unspoken kind of rules about what you could do and what you couldn't do on the seventh day. And so I was never permitted in my household to be able to throw a softball just to play catch. I just couldn't do that, right? I couldn't listen to or watch a football game, right? I'll never forget the day that my dad came in and I was listening in my little earbud to the Lions game. He was not very happy with me. Right? When we went on vacation, we couldn't go swimming on Sunday. We couldn't ride a bike on Sunday. Never mind that we lived in a neighborhood where people all around us did that. But in our church community, we were not permitted to do this. And so you can see why the Sabbath felt oppressive to me. It was not a day that I looked forward to, right? Sabbath was a day for taking a nap and being quiet, maybe playing some games with your parents, and of course going to church. It felt anything but a gift. And it felt anything but an expression of God's love and concern for us. You know, in some respects, that's exactly what was happening in Jesus' day when the Pharisees straitjacketed the Sabbath. And they had this list. You can count them. 1,152 rules. That is to say, 1,152. And I have in my office this list of all of these rules. And these were rules developed by the community, by the religious community. And these were the things that you were permitted to do. And these were the things that you were not permitted to do, right? And so, you know, you couldn't do anything that remotely came close to working because you wouldn't want to come close to desecrating this holy day, right? You wouldn't want to break the fourth commandment. And so, you know, you could only walk 1,000 yards before it was classified as work. 1,000 yards. So you couldn't cook on Sunday. All your cooking had to be... Sorry, did I say Sunday? Of course, I didn't mean Sunday. I meant the Sabbath, right? Because the Jewish Sabbath is not Sunday. But you couldn't cook on Sunday. You couldn't do anything that remotely came to, close to working. You couldn't carry anything on Sunday. In fact, they had certain rules that, you know, what was classified as carrying. Well, you know, it was if something weighed about the same as a fig or more, that would be a load that you were carrying and therefore classified as work. And if your child was crying but was carrying something, you could not pick up your child. Because you see, your child was carrying something. It got really ridiculous. As were some of the unwritten and unspoken and spoken rules in the community that I grew up in. You know, in the process, the religious community in that day, in the first century, in Jesus' day, just violated the intent of the commandment. And I look back and I think in the process, the religious community in which I grew up too came pretty close to that. Although I realized the intention, right? But the spirit of the fourth commandment was to provide physical, emotional, and spiritual renewal, replenishment. You know, and if you read the Gospels, there is this story of Jesus who on the Sabbath was picking, and his disciples were picking grains from a field. And they were going to take this grain, they're going to make a meal of this. And the Pharisees caught on to this, and they were in close proximity. They were watching this. And they come up to Jesus and they say, "What gives here? Why are you violating, you know, the fourth commandment?" Anybody remember what Jesus said? Anybody remember how he responded?
It's,
that's right. That's right. That's exactly right. God gave us the fourth commandment to restore us, friends, not to frustrate us. It was never meant to be unpleasant. It was never meant to be boring. It was never meant to deplete our spirits, but a wonderful gift for our well-being. How many of us see Sabbath as God's good gift to us? I hope so. One has to wonder, though, I think, right, in fairness, as long as we're going to be honest about this, if pendulum hasn't swung the other way. You know what I'm saying about that? You know, the other way with our increasingly, well, anything goes kind of an attitude. After all, the Sabbath wasn't made for man. Man was made for the Sabbath, right? Okay, where are we going to take that, right? It's all about the freedom that we have, right? Where our children's athletic events keep us from attending worship on Sunday, and where shopping and big-time sporting events and, you know, the around-the-clock accessibility we have to work these days with our devices, so easy, if we're not careful, to be drawn into our employment and our work with our devices, right? The Sabbath. God wants us to take a break and cease from our work. He wants us to take a break from the normal pressures and activities of everyday life. In fact, what does the Sabbath mean? Anyone know? What does the word Sabbath mean? It simply means to cease. It means to rest. Whatever comes close to constituting work for us, leave it for tomorrow, on this day. So important is this break that God uses Himself as an example here. Where am I on here? I have no idea. All right, let me back up here. Okay, I'm totally lost. So he uses himself as a model. He says, "For in 6 days the Lord has made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day." When he created the world, he rested. Was that because he was tired? He was not tired, friends. God is unlimited. He is mighty in power. He has no limits or boundaries. God ceased from his work. He rested so that he could just acknowledge the goodness of what he has done. I think there's another reason too. I think he rested from his work to set the pattern for you and me, to model what he has done, what is required after our doing, for you and for me. And he sets this as an important principle of our lives. So some of you are in a medical profession. Some of you are involved in public safety, right? Some of you are in caring for other people and caring care facilities. And, you know, we understand that, right? And we make exceptions of that in your work that we judge to be necessary and in your service that we judge to be really important and must continue on. But here's the point. We make exceptions for that, but we don't limit that, right? We must protect those exceptions. We must not take those exceptions lightly, because the Sabbath was intended to be a very different day. So set aside the day and rest from your work. That is the first thing. Ah, here we go. The second thing is engage in activities that renew and replenish you physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Refreshment and renewal was very much a part of what Jesus had done and how he lived that out in his ministry. Throughout his ministry, he regularly retreated. So in Mark chapter 6, he said to his disciples, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." We need a break, he says. We just need to get out of here. We need some replenishment time. So here's my question. What replenishes you physically? And what replenishes you emotionally? What activities do you find that you enjoy, that you take great delight in? What are those things that recharges you? What are those things for you? Could be taking a nap. That was one thing I could do as a kid, but it could be playing tennis, or it could be walking a trail, or it could be enjoying your favorite foods or listening to your favorite music. It could be spending time with your kids and doing things as a family together. Whatever it is that replenishes you and restores you, those are good things. Choose the activities that renew you and bring you joy. Avoid at all costs activities that have this sense, this feeling that you feel that comes close to you. For, you know, work and worry and stress. So Sunday ought not to be a day, in my opinion, for paying your bills. I'm just saying. Or doing your taxes. Or crossing off things on your to-do lists. Or cleaning your house. Or catching up on errands. Or doing your laundry. I'm going to stick my neck out here and say homework. Yeah, if you can at all avoid it. I know that you can't avoid it when there are exams on Monday and tests on Monday. But I want to say that, you know, these things can be better done on another day. Now, some of you are saying, "Pastor Jack, are you kidding me? The only day that I can do laundry, or the only day that I can catch up with cleaning the house, or the only day that I can, do my bill paying or taxes is on Sunday. That's just part of the weekly. That's how I schedule it in the course of my week." I said, "Okay, but just think about that. Really, is that the only time? What if you were intentional? Could we not find times to do these kinds of activities so that Sunday could be a very different day for us? What if Sunday were treated like a snow day?" No, really. What's a snow day? Well, a snow day is unexpected, right? A snow day, you can't go to work. A snow day, you can't go to school. The roads are impassable. All of a sudden, you've been given a day. What are you going to do with this day? Right? You're going to love the day. It's a serendipitous day. And you're going to use this day to do the kinds of things that bring great joy and delight to you. You're going to recharge yourself in this gift of a new day. What if we viewed Sunday, the Sabbath, as a gift? What if we didn't schedule these kinds of things that we are just thinking about together on this day, so that this day felt differently than going to worship in the morning and then doing all the stuff that we somehow got to get done, you know, and then maybe a small group on the end of the day and then go to bed in exhaustion? What if Sunday looked completely different than that? I'm just wanting you to think outside the box a little bit. I'm wanting us to gather to think about how we can best honor this gift that God has given us. Even more important is spiritual replenishment and renewal. Sabbath keeps us connected to God. How many hours are there in a week? Well, you don't know because you can get out your phone and calculate. There's 160 odd hours in the week, right? In the 160 odd hours in a week. And during the week, we face this constant stream of challenges to our beliefs and our values, right? And we're constantly being bombarded by things that threaten to blur our convictions and cause us to lose sight of who we are as Christians. On Sunday, we gather here for worship, and worship gives us the opportunity to refocus our minds and to recalibrate our hearts. Going to church where God's word is taught and believed, and where it is taught without apology, is absolutely critical to staying on course spiritually, because it's easy to forget who we are. It is easy for us to forget why we're here. It's so easy for us to forget where we are going. And that's why God says, I want you to stop. I want you to cease. I want you to take one day out of every 7 days. I want you to gather in my presence to worship. I want you to gather in my presence to remember who I am, how much I love you, what I have done for you. I want you to listen to my counsel and my guidance and directives. I want you to be challenged. I want you to be inspired to live accordingly. I want you, most of all, to stay connected with me so that you remain wholeheartedly devoted to me. Because worship keeps us focused spiritually. Jesus himself recognized the importance of worship. What was his pattern? Every 7 days, he went to the synagogue. Every 7 days, he went to worship. Hebrews 10, verse 25 says, "And let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another." We need the encouragement of others. We need the coming alongside of others. We need to be challenged by others. Right? That's what we do as a community of faith. A lot happens. A lot of this happens on the Sabbath. You know, we come here for worship, and then after worship, there's an opportunity to pray for people who really have a heart for prayer, want to pray for you. And then there's classes and there's programs and studies. And, there's an evening service. Many of us do small group on Sunday evenings. So much of what God wants for us in terms of spiritual restoration and renewal and replenishment born out of what we do here on this day in which we're to cease from our work. And then there are the quiet times that a good Sabbath will allow us as we pause from the frantic pace of life, if we can bring ourselves to do that, and as if we pause from the noise and the stress of the week. I think of a passage like this, Psalm 23, where we're told that he leads me besides quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. You see, quietness and soul restoration go together. Work and busyness and all the things that we try to pack into our lives keep us from addressing the deeper issues of our life, because We don't have time. We don't have space to reflect. I mean, we struggle to enter into God's presence in a meaningful, quiet time in any part of the week. Some of us struggle to do that on a Sunday. But Sabbath, I want to suggest, is a time for reflection and an opportunity for quiet, a time to refresh your mind, your emotions, and your spirit, a time to come apart with God in devotions and prayer, a time to listen, a time to hear the still, small, quiet voice of God. And we're just not able to do that if Sunday morning or Sunday consists of morning worship and then Sunday afternoon and evening doing all the activities that we can't do during the course of the week. So listen, friends, here's my question. What is your Sabbath like for you? I mean, if we're really trying to honor the intent of God's gift of the Sabbath, what is your Sabbath like for you? Is it a day of physical and emotional and spiritual replenishment for you? I mean, at the core of your being, would you say that that would be true for you? Even if you think that, I live on a different planet with some of my earlier comments about things to avoid on Sunday afternoon, but no, really, is the Sabbath a day of physical, emotional, and spiritual replenishment for you? And if you would say yes, then I would say, okay, now in what ways is that true for you? In what ways are you experiencing restoration on a Sabbath and renewal on the Sabbath and replenishment on the Sabbath? As you think about God's good intentions in giving us this day to renew and replenish body, soul, and spirit, is there anything different that you might want to do? But haven't done because you've just sort of fallen into this default mode and without a great deal of thought. Any changes that you might want to make? See, and here's my ask of you. I'm going to ask you to think about this together in your household this noon at the family meal. So while it's fresh on our minds, while we've been thinking about it, to gather here, when you gather for a meal in an hour and a half or 2 hours, I'd like to ask you to make this a topic of conversation with those around your table. And what I'd really like for you to think about together, whatever it is your age, is how can we honor God's intentions with this snow day that He's given us every 7 days. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your good word to us this morning. And I pray that we would be able to grasp the spirit and the intent of that word for us this morning as we continue to ponder it and reflect to gather on it. And I pray that more and more this good gift of yours would be enjoyed by us. This good gift of yours would be a day of real refreshment and real renewal, and will be a day of delight for us, a day that we so look forward to. And in our doing so, will be a day in which we express our delight in your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.